not tabled before Parliament at the time of finalizing this report. Should they submit the annual reports following this report, the committee will consider a supplemental report. Then the paragraph that follows also refers to the challenges that the department as well as the NDCs have to contend with due to COVID as well. So is that one. Now then, after that, we will have the mandate of the committee, which remains the same as in the previous.
Before you go there, Doc, let's do it this way. Are there any comments, colleagues, on that paragraph introduction so that we don't go back? I think it will help, and then we can take notes. My observation there, and subject to correction, colleagues will remind me, there were more than RAF which were not tabled. We also didn't table, or the department didn't table ARTIA, or it was withdrawn, didn't table, or the minister withdrew it, whichever language is the right language. And there was another one also, if I could just get to my notes. Although here we say, at the time of drafting, the AGSA did indicate that they finalized the audit of the ARTIA and driving. However, the annual reports of the were not tabled before the... Okay, it is picked up on the report that I have here. Okay, so I think my comment falls off. I not picked up that particular comment. Yes, Honorable Mabena.
Thank you very much, President. Do we have to use this thing? Are we being recorded or for
recording?
No. So everyone can hear me without this. Okay. Chair, I don't know, but I was thinking that perhaps I see that you are giving guidance in terms of how we engage with the report, that we look at a certain portion, we make comments, and then I'm not sure, but if that's the case, maybe at the end of the presentation, we can still come back and raise issues even if we're missed at the top.
Yes, listen.
No problem.
I don't want to confine anybody, but I'm just trying to...
Thank you very much, President. It's good that it seems to have a chairperson that can give guidance. Here's my problem, Chair, with this. With this report, it says that at the time that this report was drafted on the 13th of October, RAF had not submitted their outstanding audit findings, and this has been ongoing now for 2 years, and this is failure to account for over 80 billion rands of taxpayers' money. But here is the challenge: the report says that RAF will only submit pending the review, or RAF will only report until the judicial review of the dispute with AGSA is finalized. That's what this report says. But in the DOT and the minister have indicated that the minister has given some sort of an instruction to RAF to say that they need to drop the judicial review issue, and they need to come back and account. Now, I just want to, because in this report is not there. So we take what is in this report, outside of what the ministry and the minister is saying, that RAF has to account and instructing them that they must not go ahead with a judicial review. So therefore, in this context, therefore, the report would almost be outdated if we were to do so. But also, it will be outdated, I say so with extreme caution, because there's no official communication from the department that seeks to say so, albeit if we are only following what is happening in the media. But the concern is RAF has not been reporting for the past 2 years, and there's about 80 billion rands which is they're failing to account for, and RAF is in the red. RAF is in the same boat as ESCOM, if not worse. So I think that must be flagged by the committee. And I think, Chair, I think we need to express ourselves very strongly on this issue. The department cannot escape unscathed here, but also RAF, the management, including the board. But also we need to also hold accountable the minister, because seemingly they're failing to provide leadership in that space. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Honorable Mabena. Just to request colleagues, although we might hear each other, but Parliamentary Monitoring Group, they are present and they are recording the proceedings. So if we could please use the mic, although we might be hearing each other, for purposes of recording by them. Secondly, I hear your point, but what is presented here is what we were presented with during our process of deliberating. And I think we will take that note, maybe in observations, as good doctor said, later on. We will make those observations further down. And where there are recommendations specifically you'd like to make, we would like you to pick them up specifically at the time. If the committee agrees, they then get recorded. But for now, we are just presenting what has been presented to us as fact. Thank you, colleagues.
So we have
disposed of that portion for now, barring whatever Honorable Mabena and other colleagues would want to flag at observation stage and recommendation stage. Okay, good doctor, let's move.
Thank you, Chair. So we were at
at the mandate of the committee, which I suppose that we will all be familiar with now, because it remains the same, there's nothing has changed. Notwithstanding the fact that there has been the COVID-19 and all that stuff. And then below that, you will have the purpose of the budget review and the recommendation report. Then the first paragraph states, I mean, from what piece of legislation is the mandate of Parliament derived as far as the tribunal process is concerned. Then below that is we are trying to explain how the report is going to be structured going forward. That is the methodology. Then we are outlining there what I'm reading as the engagements that took place between the committee together with the department, as well as those entities that we interacted with. So as you'll see on paragraph 2, I think the committee selected to meet with the Air Traffic and Navigation Services, Airport Company of South Africa, South African Civil Aviation Authority, South African National Roads Agency Limited, Road Traffic Management Agency, South African Maritime Safety Authority, and BRASA, due to time constraints, and since these entities tabled their reports in time for consideration during the ITRR process. At the time of considering this report, the Road Traffic Infringement Agency, RAF, and BLSA had not tabled the annual report yet. The committee voiced its dissatisfaction with the lack of reasons provided for the failure to table the RTI and BLSA annual reports. It was the third consecutive year that RTI and the second consecutive year that RAF did not table their report in time for the tribunal process. And I think that portion speaks to the issues that Mr. Mabena addressed. But I'm not barring you from making the committee from making recommendations. I'm just picking up that we are making reference to that there has been an aberration as far as some entities are concerned in terms of complying with the deadline for submitting their annual report. Yes. the following entities were not programmed or called to meet with the committee specifically. However, their annual reports and or financial statements were tabled on time, and their audit was part of the department's audit, and then we released those entities. And then there was the South African Pension Risk Organization, including the National CRS Institute, and the Railway Safety Regulator, the Water Regulator of South Africa, and finally the Cross Border Road Transport Agency. The BRRR details the analysis of the 2018-19, 2019-20, 2020-21, and 2021-22 annual reports and financial statements, strategic objectives, budget allocation, and financial performance and the recommendations made by the committee. The BRRR is based on information accessed through 2021 State of the Nation address, the department's strategic plan and the annual performance plans for 2021-22, the department's annual report and financial statements for 2018-19, 2019-20, 2020-21, and 2021-22 financial years. The strategic plans and the annual performance plans or the corporate plans of the entities that fall under the department, as well as their annual reports and financial statements for 2018-19, 2019-20, 2020-21 financial year and 2021-22. Quarterly reports of the department, the reports of the Auditor General on the outcomes of the department and its entities, National Treasury Section, the two reports, National Development Plan, and finally the oversight visits by the committee during the period under review. And then the following section then covers the mandate of the Department of Transport, similar to the mandate of the portfolio committee has not changed, and I think we should all be okay with that. And then below that, then we have a paragraph that deals with how the department is structured in terms of its programs, which have always been seven in total. And we are saying that the structure was approved in September 2011. I think it was implemented from November 2011. The structure comprises four transport modes, and that would be your rail, road, civil aviation, and maritime transport, as well as integrated transport planning and public transport. Support functions, particularly in the Office of the Director General, Office of the Chief Operations Officer, and the Office of the Chief Financial Officer, fall under the administration program. And there is a subsection 2.1, which looks at a strategic overview for 2021-22, and that is followed by the subsection on the strategic priorities of government that guided the department as well as the entities as they discharged their responsibilities during the period under review. And in that section, I think to execute this mandate, the department is guided by government's commitment as set out in inter alia the National Development Plan, the Medium-Term Strategic Framework, as well as the State of the Nation Address Policy Directives. The department contributes to the realization of the vision of improved social and economic development articulated in the National Development Plan. Transport infrastructure and services support economic growth and development by connecting people and goods to markets. Development and maintenance of an efficient and competitive transport system is a key objective of the National Development Plan. To this effect, the department, in partnership with the sector public entities, provincial and local government, focuses on improving mobility and access to social and economic activities. In addition, the department gives impetus Priority 1, which is economic transformation and job creation, and priority 4, special integration in settlements and local governments of Governments 2019-2024 MCSF. Then the table below shows a schematic illustration of the alignment between the MCSF pillars, APEC priorities of the six administration, and the strategic focus areas of the department. And then below that, we are making, we are accentuating the points that were raised by the President as well as delivering his State of the Nation address in 2021, because we are looking at that period. And then the issue that he zoomed in on, as far as the transport sector is concerned, was the constructing and the rehabilitating of N1, N2, and N3 highways, supporting of a massive increase in local production, and finally, using operation to bring about reforms in the transport sector. On the medium term, the department plans to give effect to deregulating policies by focusing on building and maintaining national and provincial road networks, providing passenger rail infrastructure and services, and finally facilitating the provision of integrated public transport networks. And then below that, are the areas of focus that guide the minister or the Department of Transport. And then below that, now you will have now the subsection which looks at the service outcomes and oriented goals of the department. And we are saying under that section that during the period under review, the department executed its responsibilities with a view to attaining the following strategic objectives. And those are contained both in the department's annual performance plan as well as its strategic plan. The first bullet point talked about safety as an enabler of service delivery. Second one is public transport that enables social emancipation and an economy that works. The third bullet talks about infrastructure build that stimulates economic growth and job creation, building a maritime nation, elevating the ocean's economy, accelerating transformation toward greater economic participation, innovation that advances efficiencies and supports a continuous improvement model, environmental protection, recovery, and maintaining a healthy natural environment, and finally governance, greater efficiency, effectiveness, and accountability. In the 2021 financial aid, the department aimed to perform its work in line with the following priority focus areas, and we are listing those below. Section on 2.13 gives a casual look at the challenges experienced in 2021 as reported by the department. So briefly, if one were to look at paragraph 1 thereof, we are saying the outbreak of the COVID-19 pandemic resulted in restrictions that led to the closure of the driving license testing centers that will be DLTCs, registering authorities or RAs, and the vehicle testing centers, DTCs, particularly during alert level 5 and 4 between 26 March 2020 and 21 May 2020. These institutions gradually opened from 1 June 2020, depending on their readiness in terms of COVID-19 regulations. Due to the impact of COVID-19 on service delivery, in terms of limited staff and demand for services, major backlogs were incurred, especially with regard to the renewal of driving licenses. In addition to this, there was a breakdown of the card production machine during the 2021-22 financial year, which further added to the already COVID-19 impact on the backlog. then necessitated extensions of validity period of driving license in a way to allow the backlog to be cleared. Then the paragraph that follows makes reference to the vacancy rate in the department, which remains a challenge, and that was the case in the during the period of under review. And we are saying, as per the annual report of the department, they are reporting that they had filled 61 vacant positions against the target of 50. However, the anticipated decline in the vacancy rate did not materialize due to a high turnover rate and unfunded positions. The turnover rate was impacted by, among other things, the number of deaths of employees, resignations, external transfers, and retirements. And that is the information that we have extracted directly from the department's annual report. The department has undertaken to continue prioritizing filling of vacant positions to ensure attainment of a 10% or lower rate as prescribed by the state. The following were reported in the annual report. The annual report is that we would have to be edited again because your A should be the upper case as well as the R of the report, so that it is consistent in terms of reporting. The challenges experienced by the department during the under review and the report of the accounting office. Under program one, which is administration, we are saying what information and communication technology governance structures were reconstituted, and met regularly during the period under review. Audit findings raised by the Office of the Auditor General on ICT governance were fully addressed. In terms of ICT service delivery matters, improvements are being effected and still work in progress. And that information as well is derived from the department's annual report. Internal controls were monitored in financial and supply chain management and stakeholder coordination and compliance. Irregular and unauthorized expenditure has been put in check with the department not incurring any for the financial year. However, there are a few cases of potential irregular expenditure that are being assessed for verity. 9 cases of fruitless and wasteful expenditure, mainly as a result of no shows related to travel, were recorded during the period under review. One case was written off, and 8 were transferred to debt. This one, as I'm reading it now, I see that it's a repetition of what I've already spoken to about in terms of the vacancy rate of the department. So it might have to be taken out. And then, you know, that we are seeing the revenue losses and regulatory restrictions experienced by the center as a result of COVID-19 pandemic impacting heavily on achievement of critical milestones in sector capital infrastructure program. State-owned entities impacted include PRASA, APSA, SANRAL, and HNS. And then on program two, which is your integrated transport planning, the freight to rail agenda is being addressed, that is supported by department, and through the development of the approved road freight strategy and its implementation plan. A migration plan which assesses infrastructure readiness, condition and determination of commodities and quantities that could be carried by the rail sector was also developed. The establishment of the transport economic regulator remains a critical target of the department within the medium term. The economic regulation of transport is currently being processed in Parliament, and it is anticipated that this bill will be approved in the new financial year. To ensure an adequate regulatory environment for the implementation of autonomous vehicle technology in the country, a state-of-the-art analysis on the regulation of autonomous vehicles was was conducted and a recommendation report has been developed. This report will rather guide the required amendment of legislation that will be prioritized in the medium term. In the 2021 financial year, green procurement guidelines were developed to advance the sector target of reducing greenhouse gas emissions within the medium term. Under Program 3, which is rail transport, it was reported that as part of ensuring the rail transport sector that is safe, secure, the rail deal is currently being processed in Parliament. Once approved, and once it has been elected into an entity, the rail safety bill will guide the implementation of interventions to ensure rail commuters, including rail infrastructure, will ensure that rail commuters are including rail infrastructure as regarded accordingly. On 23 March, 2022, Cabinet approved the white paper on the National Rail Policy that takes a holistic view on the development of the rail system. This policy introduces radical structural reforms in the sector and also intends to place the rail on a sound footing to play a meaningful role as a backbone of a seamlessly integrated transport value chain. One of the highlights of the policy relates to enabling investments in the rail network with specific attention to the exploitation of rail's genetic technologies to achieve renaissance in the following market spaces, which will be your heavy haul, heavy intermodal, which includes double stacked containers, contemporary urban and regional rapid transit, as well as higher speeds of 160 kilometers per hour and a high speed of 100 kilometers per hour. The draft of the high-speed rail corridor framework was developed during the period under review. The framework is due for submission to Cabinet in the 2022-23 financial year. The rolling stock fleet renewal program has produced 39 new train sets during the period under review. 33 of the sets have been provisionally accepted, while 6 await fitment of parts before testing. The total number of train sets produced since the inception of the program is 85. To date, 5 priority corridors have been recovered and services have resumed. 4 corridors are currently closed for repairs and will be returned to service within the new financial year. In KwaZulu-Natal, 2 corridors, that will be your Umlazi Durban and Wamashu Durban, which were impacted by the recent floods, are undergoing infrastructure cleanup with a view to resuming services within the financial year. Then going to program 4, which is road transport, and paragraph 1 talks about the implementation of the National Road Safety Strategy, which as reported rather by the department, was monitored nationally in 9 provinces. Regulatory law enforcement interventions were commissioned to improve road safety and reduce road crashes and fatalities. Reduction in road crash fatalities amounted to 20.02 in the 2021 financial year. In November 2021, DLCA experienced a machine breakdown, as I said previously, due to a flooding of the adjacent building, which caused an electrical surge. January 2022, when the DLCA resumed the production, the backlog in the production of driving license cards that resulted from the machine breakdown was 689,000. And as of 11 April 2022, a total of 628,000 cards had been produced. The accumulated backlog to the date of reporting was 593,000. The DLCA is operating day and night shifts to address this backlog and to ensure that all road users have valid driving licenses. National and provincial road networks were rehabilitated and maintained. maintained during the period under the UN. On the national front, the entire 22,466 kilometers of the Samba network was exposed to routine maintenance, and that is according to the annual report of the department. Then in line with the provincial road maintenance program, the provincial road network was exposed to rehabilitation, maintenance, resurfacing, resealing, laptop patching, blading, and regravelling during the period under review. Over 330,239 job opportunities were reported, while some opportunities being for women, youth, and persons with disabilities. Compliance with the user pay principle remained optimal, except on the Samba network impacted by e-tolling, that is the housing freeway improvement project. This section constitutes a small fraction of the Samba network. The decision on the GFIP tariff and funding structure is imminent within the current financial year, primarily to bring the certainty to Samba's ability to continue operating as a green concern, and also to the user pay principle as a policy of government. Then below that you have program 5, which will be your civil aviation. As per the annual report of the department, the South African Civil Aviation Authority initiated the process to review ARPA's regulations. The target is to ensure that the review process is concluded within the medium term and that the regulatory framework for ARPA's is optimized. Over the medium term, the department, in collaboration with SACAR, will optimize the implementation of the aviation safety strategy to ensure that the fatal accidents general aviation are reduced. Then as far as maritime transport is concerned, in June 2021, President Ramaphosa announced the decision to corporatize the Transnet National Port Authority as an independent subsidiary of Transnet. Following this pronouncement, an interim board was appointed and relevant processes given effect to enable the establishment of the Transnet National Port Authority as an independent subsidiary. The finalization of this process with the appointment of a permanent board will give a full effect to the provisions of the National Ports Act of 2005. Implementation of Operation Palisa 3-foot plan was also monitored during the period under review. A draft business case for the establishment of a national shipping company was developed as targeted. During the period under review, the draft national maritime security strategy was also developed. Pertaining to the final program now of the department, which is your public transport, it is reported that the implementation of the integrated public transport networks in various cities has not been without problems. Capacity challenges in some of the cities have given rise to complications that have either delayed or stalled progress. During the 20 or the reporting period under review, a total of 7 cities are operational and are working towards expanding current services. Operating cities carry a combined average weekday passenger trips, that is as reported by the department, of 117,305. These cities include the city of Cape Town, George, Ebrugeni, Johannesburg, Tswane, Nelson Mandela Bay, and Kruger. Rustenburg, Mangaung, and Etegwini are working towards the launch of new services. Etegwini is currently experiencing challenges due to unsuccessful negotiations with taxi operators on the affected roads. As part of the implementation of the National Taxi Khutla resolutions, the department has also initiated the establishment of a panel of eminent persons to lead discussions regarding unity and leadership within the taxi industry with a view to finding a lasting solution to the ongoing leadership dispute and bring stability. disability. The key deliverable of this panel of eminent persons would be to find a lasting solution to the ongoing divide that plagues the industry and bring about unity and stability. Members of the panel were appointed within the period under review. Pertaining to the implementation of the revised taxi recapitalization program, the number of vehicles scrapped was negatively affected owing to slow uptake by the industry. A market drive to sensitize the public about taxi scrapping was needed in different provinces due to the COVID-19 pandemic. It is reported that a total of 2,284 more taxi vehicles were scrapped during the period under review. To ensure that uptake by the industry is improved, and that more OTVs are scrapped, the department and the TRSA will communicate directly with taxi associations and qualify individual operators to get them to bring their own taxis for scrapping. The Shoba Valula Bicycle Project is a national bicycle program initiated by the department as a pilot project in 2005 with the purpose of promoting and maximizing the use of bicycles as a low-cost mobility solution to poor communities, particularly in the rural areas. The project provides for the distribution of bicycles to learners from poor households who walk more than 3 kilometers to their educational resource centers. During the period under review, it is reported that a total of 11,349 bicycles were distributed across 9 provinces. To ensure sector compliance with the implementation of the national strategic plan on gender-based violence and femicide, the department in collaboration with SANTAPRO provides an annual operational funding of 26 million rand increase annually to support some tax industry programs. Amongst the programs supported by SANTAPRO are campaigns to educate drivers on GBVF and to empower them in the job market. The taxi industry has also partnered with the Department of Women, Youth, Persons and Disabilities and Sonke Gender Justice to educate their members on GBVF matters. A memorandum of understanding was signed in December 2021 to formalize this initiative and to set out the program of action. The section that follows speaks to the key policy developments and legislative changes. During the year under review, the department indicated the following key policy developments and legislative challenges. One, the decision to concretize the Transnet National Ports Authority as an independent subsidiary of Transnet was announced by President Ramaphosa in June 2021, as I have said in the preceding paragraph. And then bullet point number two, to address regulatory and capacity gaps that relate to South Africa's need for an efficient and cost-effective transport system in order to raise economic growth and meet the social goals. The department is in the process of finalizing the Economic Regulation of Transport Act, which will affect the establishment of a transport economic regulator. The National Road Traffic Amendment Bill is currently serving before the Portfolio Committee of Parliament and finalizing the A list of the bill for adoption and approval. The bill seeks to reduce the blood alcohol limit to zero, with the result that no one on the road should be operating a motor vehicle whilst under the influence. Should be operating a vehicle whilst under the influence of alcohol and drugs. The Railway Safety Bill seeks to improve the regulatory framework regulating safety in the Republic of South Africa in order to improve safety for passengers and freight. The bill was processed through Cabinet and introduced to Parliament in March 2021. And the white paper on the National Rail Policy was approved by Cabinet in March 2022. the implementation of the national policy, of the national policy, will drive a reduction in the cost of rail services at national level through the encouragement of modal shift from road to rail. It will also drive passenger mobility through higher levels of service, quality of service, with increased intermodal connectivity. The question below talks about the social policies and strategies over the financial planning period. That is followed by the legislative challenges. If I were to go in on that section, the department had 8 bills that were processed during the under review or still currently before Parliament. And they are listed below. The first one would be your Civil Aviation Amendment Bill, and then you also have the Economic Regulation of Transport Bill, the Transport Appeal Tribunal Amendment Bill, the National Road Traffic Amendment Bill, the Railway Safety Bill, the National Land Transport Amendment Bill of 2016, and the Marine Pollution or Prevention of Pollution from Ships Amendment Bill, the Marine Oil Pollution Preparedness Response and Cooperation Bill. And then below that, we have the achievements highlighted in significant events and all projects for the year 2021-22 as reported by the department. The following is a summary of the reported notable progress or milestones and achievements by the department during the year under review. In pursuit of the transport sector's desired outcome of an affordable, safe, universally accessible and reliable public transport, 7 cities as listed operated IPTNS and carried a combined 111 identified coverage passenger trips. And that information is derived from the annual report of the department. Another notable achievement was that the annual report of cross-area modernization program was developed. An analysis report on jobs created through cross-area infrastructure program was also developed. The annual report on cross-area operations was equally developed. The annual report on the implementation of programs addressing the violence against women, youth, and persons with disabilities in the rail transport, in the rail transport sector, that was also developed. The National Household Transit Survey reports were produced for all the provinces. There is also a draft regional integration strategy, which was developed. The freight migration plan that is on to rail was also developed. The high-speed rail corridor framework was approved for submission to cabinet. And the annual monitoring report on the implementation of the national road safety strategy was developed. The draft road infrastructure planning policy was developed. The existing public transport funding model was reviewed. The framework for the taxi industry ownership of the taxi scrapping agency was developed. And finally, the annual monitoring report on public transport operations was monitored in provinces. Then below that, now we have section 3, which looks at the overview and the assessment of financial performance. I'm not going to look through 2018-19 because we have dealt with that previously. Because we have seen it in terms of the previous versions of the Petrol Act. I think it is only proper that we focus on the under review that will be on 2021-22, given that we have already, as I said, we have already seen the other section for the previous financial year. Now we are on the under review. For 2021-22, the department has received a budget of 65.4 billion, and of this amount, it spent 64.9 billion by the end of the financial year, that is 99.2% of the available budget. The expenditure pattern of the department slightly decreases from the previous financial year, when it has spent 57.1 billion, that is 99.5% of the 57.4 billion allocated to it. The department underspent a total amount of 580.5 million, translating into an under expenditure of 0.8%. In terms of RAN value, the biggest under expenditure was in the public transport program. Of the 13.1 billion that has been allocated to this program, the department had underspent 243.8 million or 1.9% of its allocation. Given the size of these programs of our budget, the smallest proportion would suggest significant amounts in monetary value. However, the integrated transport planning program was the worst performing program in terms of proportional expenditure, as it underspent 22.4% of its budget. Notwithstanding this, the program's expenditure slightly went up compared to the previous financial year, when it had managed to spend 64% of its budget. The department underspent on the compensation of employees due to vacant posts that could not be filled in the 2021-22 financial year. The annual performance plan target of the department was 50 posts for the period under review. However, the department averred that a total of 60 posts had been filled at the end of the 2021 financial year. In addition, it stated that most of the posts that had been filled during the period under review were through internal promotions, and this included the recorded resignations, retirements, and transfers outside the department, which contributed to the underspending on the compensation of employees. Goods and services were underspent across programs due to non-spending on a number of projects. The department reported that the procurement plan had been reviewed and revised to improve the spending on projects. However, due to a delayed procurement, other projects could not be finalized by the end of the financial year. And those projects will be deferred to the coming financial year. Other projects were reportedly done in-house and were performed as targeted. Under the restoration program...
You need to take a sip of water, Doc.
Thank you very much indeed.
So open some water. Not Honorable Hunsinger.
Thank you very much indeed.
Yeah. As you continue, where possible, just pick up the critical or salient issues.
Thank you, Chair.
And we avoid reading. It's always difficult because our presentation styles differ. I don't want to take you too much out of your
comfort zone.
Yeah. But the colleagues have the report, and I'm sure they'll ask where, but just try and pick up what you believe is pertinent without dictating how you should. Thanks, Doc.
Thank you, Chair. Well, then on program one, the expenditure stood at 459.6 million. And that would be 84.2%. And then we are also explaining what attributed, or what contributed rather, to under expenditure as per the report, the annual report of the department. Then, as far as the program 2 is concerned, the expenditure stood at 64.7 million or 77.6 by the end of the reporting period, translating into an under expenditure of 18.7 million or 22.4%. And again, the under expenditure was attributable to the compensation of employees and goods and services. Then program 3 had a budget of 16 almost 16.8 billion on that. I mean, that was the expenditure. And then by the end of the reporting period, there was an expenditure, under expenditure, of 28.2 million or 0.2%, mainly on goods and services. And this was on projects such as the appointment of the housing development agency on behalf of PRASA in the city of Cape Town. And the department reported that it had shifted a total amount of 37,000 rand from goods and services to fund leave gratuities under household. And the total amount of 9.9 million was shifted from goods and services in this program to cover the excess expenditure on program 5, which is your civil aviation program. On program 4, of the 34.2 billion that has been allocated to the program, the department spent 34.1 billion or 99.7% by the end of the financial year. The program underspent by 98.3 million, mainly due to the non-payment of ARTIA for the administration of adjudication of air traffic offences rolled out as a result of the court judgment to allow for other processes to unfold. Funds amounting to 605,000 rand were shifted within the program to cover the excess expenditure under households for the payment of leave gratuities as well as for debt written off. As far as program is concerned, the program has spent 546 million against the 564 million that has been allocated to it during the reporting period. The program recorded regression on spending during the period under review, down from 98.9% in the previous financial year, where it had spent 2.6 billion against the 2.7 billion that has been allocated to it during that reporting period. Coming to maritime transport, the department has received 148.2 million, and of this amount, it spent 115.6 million, or 78%, indicating an under expenditure of 2.6 million or approximately 22%. It is worth noting that there has been a consistent regression on the expenditure in this program in the previous financial years. For example, in 2021, the program spent 155.8 million or 93.9% of the 144.6 million that has been allocated to it. Indicating an under expenditure of 8.8 million or 6.1%. And prior to that, the maritime transport program has been allocated 155.3 million, and by the end of that reporting period, it had spent 182.9 million or 98.2%, translating into an under expenditure of 2.4 million or 1.8%. And then the paragraph below talks about the areas of under expenditure. And then finally, program, as far as the public transport of program 7 is concerned, the program has spent 12.8 billion or 98.1% of the 13.1 billion that has been allocated to it, translating into an under expenditure of 243.8 million or 0.19%. The program's expenditure slightly regressed from the previous financial year when it had spent 99.2% of its budget allocation. The program's under expenditure was mainly on transfers and subsidies owing to less intake on the tax recapitalization, which is demand driven. The Texas crafting project is a demand-driven process wherein qualified tax operators decide when and how they will deliver their own taxi vehicles for scrapping. Some of the identified vehicles were precluded due to the lack of valid operating license. The branch is proposing that a cut-off date be proclaimed in order to force taxi operators to deliver their qualifying for taxes or scrapping. And then below that you have a section that highlights your environment or all of us for the period under review. And there is an explanatory note below that. And then below that is a table that speaks to all of us. And then you have your section that zero in on your unauthorized, fruitless, and wasteful, as well as irregular expenditure. The cost of inadequate maintenance and operations resulted in unauthorized expenditure of $1.3 million, which was incurred way back in 2014, 2015, and 2017. And that information has been contained in the better version of the INR Postal Department. And then as far as the fruitless and wasteful expenditure is concerned, the department had 47 cases of fruitless and wasteful expenditure to the tune of 8,151.54 for 2021 financial year. This consisted, among others, of two cases amounting to 1,986 to correct the prior error, nine cases amounting to 18,896 that were added in the 2021-22 financial year, one case that was written off amounting to 3,182 rand, 24 cases that were transferred to debt amounting to 89,347.05. By the end of the 2021 financial year, the department had 29 cases amounting to 42,992. Below that is your irregular expenditure as reported in the annual report of the department. And then there's a section now that speaks to the measures that have been put in place with a view to preventing and detecting irregular expenditure. Those are contained in the table, which will be your table 9 of the report. And we are tracking those from 2017 up until the period under review, which is 2021-2022. Going down. We have a section 4 now, which looks at the performance of the department as per its program. And then the overall, on 4.1, we have the summary of performance of the department. And in terms of the analysis, we are saying it has said during the period under review, it has said itself 73 annual performance targets. And of these, it achieved 59 by the end of the financial year. And 7 were partially achieved, and another 7 were not achieved. And those are highlighted in the notes that follow. Then coming to program 1, which is your administration, under this program, the department had set itself 22 annual performance targets and of these it achieved 18, indicating a success rate of 81.8%. It spent 489.6 million that had been allocated to it, to the program during the period under review. The three annual performance targets that the department partially achieved in the program were the 100% responses to parliamentary questions. While the annual report on the status of responses to parliamentary questions had been developed as targeted, the report for the period from February 2021 to December 2021 indicated the following: 107 questions comprising 97 written and 10 oral were received from the National Assembly, and of these, 104 questions were responded to, 3 questions were not answered, 97% response rate to the National Assembly questions. 47 questions were received from the National Council of Provinces, and of these, 46 were responded to, 1 was not responded to, and 98% response rate for the NCOP questions. During the reporting period, the department has set the seven targets of creating 10,000 jobs through the craft infrastructure programs. However, by the end of the reporting period, the report indicated that a total of 1,154 jobs have been created through the program, and this consisted of 414 women, 809 youth, and 60 persons with disabilities. Additional jobs were also reported through the signaling program in Gauteng and Western Cape. Adherence to COVID-19 restrictions protocols that resulted in faster contracting 370 platform marshals. Another target that was not achieved is analysis of reported faster rail operations. And then the final one will be 100% compliance to 50-day payment requirement. Coming to program two, the department set itself for seven annual performance targets under the program, and it achieved 5 of them, indicating a success rate of 71.4%. And the program's performance regressed from that of the previous financial year. In 2021, it has set itself 5 annual performance targets, and it achieved 4 of them by the end of the financial year, indicating a success rate of 80%. And the one annual performance target that the department could not achieve in this program was the draft regulation for autonomous vehicle technology developed. The department attributed its inability to meet the set annual performance target to prolonged stakeholder consultations. And the one annual performance target that the department partially achieved in this program was the ERTP approved by Parliament. As I stated previously, the bill is in the process. It's before Parliament, but the annual performance target was partially achieved owing to the prolonged parliamentary deliberations that initially anticipated due to the complex nature of the bill. Coming to the rail transport, the department has set itself for 5 annual performance targets during the period under review, and it achieved 4, and it did not attain 1 annual performance target. The department's performance regressed in this program compared to its performance in the previous financial year. In that financial year, the department set itself 9 annual performance targets, and it achieved all of them. The one annual performance target that the department could not achieve in the rail transport program was on the national rail bill approved for submission to cabinet. And the department reported that the bill was not approved for submission because the progression of the bill was dependent on approval of the white paper on national rape policy by cabinet. In addition, the department contended that in the 2022-23 financial, the bill will be prioritized towards approval and assessment into law. As far as the road transport program is concerned, it has set itself 10 annual performance targets. End of this, it achieved 7, translating into a success rate of 70%. The annual performance target that the department could not attain during the period under review in the program were the following. The first one is the draft National Anti-Fraud and Corruption Strategy for the Road Traffic Environment approved for submission to cabinet. The department reported that the National Anti-Corruption Strategy could not be submitted to cabinet because a resolution was adopted to align the National Anti-Corruption Strategy for the Road Traffic Environment with the cabinet-approved National Anti-Corruption Strategy that was published in November 2020. Another target that was noted was the analysis report of the South African National Roads Agency Limited Maintenance Program. The reason provided by the department for its inability to achieve this annual performance target was, quote, perceived imminent audit risk, unquote. Another one was, another target that was not achieved was the analysis report on jobs created through the Central Road Maintenance Program. Similarly, the reason furnished by the department for its inability to achieve the annual government target was, quote, the perceived imminent audit risk. Coming to the civil aviation transport, the department had set itself 4 annual government targets and it achieved 50% thereof, while one was partially achieved and another was not achieved. The annual performance target that the department partially attained in this program was the analysis report of jobs created to AMSA infrastructure program. While the analysis report on jobs created through AMSA infrastructure program had been developed, job opportunities supported were 2,027 lower than the target of 18,405 jobs. The department attributed its inability to meet this annual performance target to under expenditure of capital expenditure. The annual performance target that the department could not achieve in this program was the draft South African Maritime and Aeronautics Association Rescue Amendment Bill approved for submission to cabinet. At the time of reporting, the department asserted that, quote, the amendment process could not proceed due to recommendations of the Office of the State Law Advisor that the nature and extent of the proposed amendments were such that a new bill be drafted that repeals the principal act, unquote. The department reported that the process to redraft the bill has been initiated and that it will be prioritized in 2022-23 financial year. The department spent $546 million that has been allocated to it in the program. As far as maritime transport program is concerned, the department has set itself 10 annual performance targets and it achieved 9. This translated into a success rate of 90%. The annual performance target that the department could not achieve in this program was the merchant shipping bill approved for submission to cabinet. The department reported that the bill could not be processed through the ECA cluster owing to prolonged state law advisor processes. In addition, it asserted that following prolonged engagements with the Office of the State Law Advisor, the bill subsequently concluded CS process and progress to the ECA cluster. Furthermore, the department undertook that in the 2023 financial year, the bill will be processed through ICTS cluster before submission to cabinet. pertaining to program 7, the department had set 15 annual performance targets, and it achieved 14 by the end of the financial year, indicating a success rate of 93.3%. The department spent 12.8 billion of the 13 billion that has been allocated to it in the program. The annual performance target that was partially achieved by the department in the program was the projected scale figure of 3,500 all-tax vehicles. A total of 2,254 all-tax vehicles was scrapped during the period under the review. The department maintained that the target is demand-driven and dependent on uptake by the taxi industry. Coming now to Section 5, which is your human resource management. During the year under review, the department had 876 posts on the approved establishment, and of these, 663 had been filled. The vacancy rate stood at 24.3%. The highest vacancy rate was in the civil aviation transport program, that stood at 31.9%. The maritime transport program came second with the vacancy rate of 31.1%. In the third place came the administration program, whose vacancy rate stood at 29.7%. And then below that, you have the, your employment equity of the department as per the racial demographics of the country. And then on Section 6, we have your normal summary of the reporting requests, which are often contained in this report, and they are tabulated in the table. And now we have Section 7 now, which to borrow the word used by the chair, would be your faded section of the report, which are your observations. Then 7.1 deals with tabling of the annual reports and the reasons for the non-tabling of those. And the first observation is that the RTR, the RAF, and the DLCA did not submit the annual reports in time for consideration by the committee. The Auditor General indicated that the audits of all the entities had been finalized. The DLCA did not table their annual report in time. The RTR did not table their annual report due to a dispute with the audit outcome, and the road to the final annual report was not tabled due to judicial review. Due to a judicial review that was still pending finalization, the ABSA presented their audit report for all entities and the department bar the audit fund. And then on the 13th October 22, the Minister of Transport tabled the reasons for the delay in taking for the road accident fund annual report. And the letter that he had submitted to Parliament is quoted verbatim as per the paragraph in front of us. The committee noted that the Auditor General indicated that the audit of RTR had been finalized. However, the annual financial statements were not tabled in time for this report due to a dispute of the audit outcome. At the time of compiling this report, the minister had not tabled the reasons for the failure to table the DLCA and RTR annual report. The committee voiced its dissatisfaction with the lack of reasons provided for the failure to table the RTR and DLCA annual reports. It was the third consecutive year that RTR and second consecutive year that the Road Improvement Fund did not table their annual report in time for the retrieval act process. The continued dispute between the Road Accident Fund and the Office of the Auditor General is noted. And the committee hopes that the outcome of this dispute will be expedited, since this has led to the entity not taking their annual reports for two consecutive years. The committee noted with concern through the presentation by the Auditor General, by the Office of the Auditor General, that once more there is non-tabling linked to a dispute of the RCR audit outcomes. The Road Accident Fund RCR GCA 2021-22 annual report has remained outstanding at the time of the adoption of this report by the committee. 7.2 opinions expressed by the Auditor General of South Africa on the outcomes of the transport portfolio. And then your subsection 7.2.1, you have the summary of the Auditor General's findings for the department specifically. The overall outcomes in the transport portfolio has slightly improved when compared to the prior year. During the period under review, the department received an unqualified audit opinion with findings. The Auditor General made the following findings specific to the department. Consequence punishment. The Auditor General was unable to obtain sufficient appropriate audit evidence that disciplinary steps were taken against some of the officials who had incurred irregular expenditure, as required by section 88, subsection 1H, subsection 3 of the Public Finance Management Act. This was due to proper and complete record that had not been maintained as evidence to support the investigations into irregular expenditure. This pertained to 5 cases from 13 that were identified in the prior year that had not been adequately addressed. Internal control deficiencies. Although management had made progress in addressing consequence management cases, there were 5 cases which were still not adequately addressed. Management did not adequately review and monitor compliance with applicable laws and regulations to ensure that non-compliance with consequence management legislation was promptly identified and addressed. Investigation. The Special Investigations Unit conducted an investigation into the procurement of personal protective equipment to the taxi industry in response to the outbreak of the COVID-19 global pandemic in respect of the national state of disaster as declared by government notice 315 of 15 March 2020. The investigations found primarily the period from 1 January to 23 July 2020. At the date of the ACSA's report, the SAU had finalized the investigation and concluded that the allegations of impropriety and maladministration were valid. The Auditor General reported that the department was awaiting the outcome of the review application from the SIU. And then we have a section that deals with the Auditor General's findings for the entire transport portfolio. The committee noted the following, and views expressed by the Auditor General regarding the audit outcomes of the transport portfolio. The overall outcomes in the portfolio have slightly improved when compared with prior year, with most of the OTPs receiving an unqualified audit opinion with no findings. This may change once the audit outcome of the Road Accident Fund is submitted. The portfolio has 6 audits, CBRCA, DSA, although the annual report has not been tabled yet, and the South African Civil Aviation Authority, the Railway Safety Regulator, the Port Regulator, and the Road Traffic Management that have achieved an unqualified audit opinion with no findings, which is normally referred to as a clean audit. This is a slight improvement from the prior year due to RCMC improving from unqualified with findings to a clean audit report. Five auditees, that is the department, the South African Maritime Safety Authority, South African National Roads Agency Limited, the Air Traffic Navigation Services, and the Airport Company in South Africa received unqualified audit opinions with findings. Although the annual report has not been tabled yet, the Auditor General of South Africa indicated that one entity that asked here received a qualified audit opinion with findings. One auditee, that is Brasa, received a claim audit opinion with findings. One auditee in the portfolio RAF is still outstanding. The factors that contribute to clean audit outcomes are leadership oversight that is entrenched in the organization, the constant monitoring that takes place at all levels, internal audits effectively execute their mandate with the thorough follow-up of audit action plans and monitoring for the implementation of actions to address prior year audit findings. The board, through the audit committees, monitor the implementation of the action plans to address prior audit findings, a leadership culture that is committed to taking action to address any findings identified, supported by adequately resourced and skilled staff. These entities have effective governance structures that ensure that actions are taken to address audit findings that are supported by adequately resourced officials. Going forward, the focus of these entities should be on maintaining clean administration and achieving strategic objectives and service delivery mandates to ensure effective and efficient delivery of services to the citizens. The big entities in the portfolio should replicate these best practices to achieve a clean administration for the portfolio as a whole. All the entities with clean audit outcomes achieved their key indicators, except for the DSCA, which did not achieve on the indicator relating to the number of days taken to produce driving license cards. This was because of the breakdown of the card production machine due to the flood damage, as well as the fact that the machine has long exceeded its useful lifespan. The Auditor General of South Africa indicated the following pertaining to PRASA. One, the overall audit outcome of PRASA remains disclaimed with material findings on compliance with laws and regulations. The financial statements were disclaimed because of material misconduct.
They quite a lot of those AGSA findings. Again, just lift what you can lift,
okay,
where you have to.
Thank you. I will oblige. There is also an issue of governance stability, and on that issue then the Auditor General indicated the following. The instability at board or executive management level over the years had a negative impact on governance in the portfolio. This contributed to service delivery challenges in some entities and the portfolio's inability to sufficiently implement audit action plans to address control deficiencies, resulting in the portfolio not improving the audit outcomes. The Auditor General noted positive progress in the filling of vacancies at board level and executive management, as well as DDG positions at the department. And this will go a long way towards enhancing governance, accountability, and oversight in the portfolio. The executive authority should prioritize the appointment of the new Director General at the department, as well as the filling of the chief executive office vacancies at SAMHSA and SAMHSA. the organizational structure of ASIA, of ASIA rather, should also be approved urgently so that the agency can fill a key management positions. And perhaps the executive management should be stabilized and key positions such as the group CEO, group CFO, group CPO, group chief, or the executive currently filled in acting capacity should be permanently filled. There is also a paragraph that talks about expenditure management for the entities. And below that you have the quality of submitted financial statements, annual performance reports, according to the findings of the auditor general. Eight auditors in terms of the as per the findings of the auditor general, submitted financial statements free of material misstatements. This is an improvement from the prior year, when only five auditors, that is your CBRCA, RSR, SACAR, the Port Regulator, and DSA managed to submit financial statements that are free of material misstatements. This can be attributed to improve the review and oversight controls. Three entities, that is SAMHSA, SANRAL, and ATNS rather, had to correct material misstatements identified through the audit process that should not qualify the opinion. PASA again did not submit financial statements by the legislated date, similar to the prior year. The financial statements were submitted on 10 June 2022 due to late finalization of asset verification process. These financial statements contain material misstatements which PRASA could not all correct, resulting in a disclaimed opinion. The key root causes for the errors and or misstatements in the financial statements are the lack of a proper understanding of the requirements of accounting frameworks and inadequate review by finance management, internal audit, and the audit and risk committee. The accounting officers and accounting authorities should implement disciplined financial reporting structures based on solid accounting and financial management knowledge and enhance the review processes of the financial statements to ensure that quality financial statements are submitted for audit. Regarding financial sustainability or going concern, the Auditor General indicated the following. The financial health of the revenue-generating entities in the portfolio was mostly affected by the impact of COVID-19. However, these entities, that is ASA, CBRCA, and SACA, are expected to recover from the impact of COVID-19 as the restrictions have been lifted and the local and global economy return to normal. A material uncertainty may exist pertaining to the growing concern at ASIA due to the High Court judgment concerning the ASIA Act disclosed in the annual financial statements. The agency applied to appeal the judgment. The department and the accounting authority should continue to monitor this matter and should assess the impact on the growing concern of the agency. On SANRAL, the Auditor General indicated the following. SANRAL is experiencing liquidity challenges on the toll segment due to motorists' resistance to pay e-toll and the impact thereof in generating revenue and its ability to raise funding on the toll segment. In the current year, the liquidity challenges were exacerbated by the maturing debt within 12 months, which SANRAL may not be able to fully service due to the reduction in the borrowing limit and current restrictions on the issue of new bonds or the refinancing of existing bonds. Over the years, government has used non-tolls to fund non-toll funds to toll segment in order to manage the liquidity risk which has a negative impact on the delivery of the road infrastructure mandate as envisioned in the MTSF and the National Development Plan. In the long term, this will put pressure on the country's fiscal position, as the government will need to find funding for these unearmarked projects. Department and SANRA are recommended to continue engaging the National Treasury and Cabinet to find a sustainable solution. This includes a permanent solution to the chief matter. In compliance with laws and regulations, the Auditor General indicated the following. The most non-compliance areas were expenditure management, consequence management, and material misstatements identified in financial statements submitted for auditing. Action plans to address audit findings are developed but not effectively implemented and not adequately monitored. Most findings raised are recurring findings. The portfolio should implement consequence management for continuous non-compliance. On information technology, the Auditor General indicated the following. The public sector has experienced some cyber attacks which poses a significant cyber security risk which could have an impact on business continuity. Such attacks were experienced at SAMHSA in the prior year and lately at RAF. The rapid changes in the information technology environment and increased dependence on remote access to key systems makes the portfolio vulnerable to cyber security threats. The portfolio still struggles with internal controls in the IT governance controls, specifically around network security management, user access management, program change management. Action plans should be developed and implemented to improve information technology controls together with the necessary security enhancements and patches to effectively address the shortcomings identified with regard to the network security. The dynamics of the discipline requires constant optimization of security management to mitigate the risk of cybersecurity vulnerability and threats. The accounting officers and authorities should also prioritize the filling of critical IT positions. On material irregularities, the ALSA identified following. The material irregularity process remanded at selected auditees audited by the Auditor General of South Africa that represents a significant portion of the expenditure budget and the irregular expenditure of national, provincial, and local government, including state-owned entities. The selection is also focused on auditees that are key contributors to government priorities. 9 material irregularities were identified in PRASA in 2018-19, and 2 potential material irregularities that were identified in SANRA in 2021. Remedial action was issued to PRASA relating to unfair procurement processes for the purchase of locomotives. This material irregularity has been resolved as adequate actions were implemented to address the remedial action. The Auditor General will continue to follow up on further actions to be taken should such be considered deficient in the future. The Auditor General reserves the right to reinstate this material irregularity. The actions taken by PRASA to address the other material irregularities are currently assessed as appropriate at the Auditor General. And the Office of the Auditor General is following up on the progress made on the investigation and disciplinary actions. The potential material irregularities that were identified at Central have been resolved. For 2021-22, AXA, RAF, Central, and PRASA were selected for material irregularity implementation in the transport portfolio. For 2022-23, the department, SAMHSA, ASIA will be phased in for material irregularity implementation. On the Wazulu Natal flood relief effort, the AXA indicated the following. Generally, the construction of transport infrastructure takes longer to complete due to a number of successive activities that have to be completed before actual constructive work can commence. These include visual assessments of the extent of damage, scope determination, which requires geotechnical assessments in many instances, as well as the compilation of comprehensive infrastructure recovery plans. Some work has already been completed, such as the restoration of Pasa and the Reunion Station in KwaZulu-Natal, as well as the embankment between Reunion and Nearbank, resulting in Pasa was able to extend the service between Durban and Nearbank to Isipingo, effective 25 July 2022. And additionally, Pasa's internal teams have performed the cleanup work that became necessary after the floods caused severe mudslides. Similarly, at Sandran, immediate interventions to restore mobility have been undertaken. These include, among others, make safer measures clearing of debris, deviation and traffic accommodation. Furthermore, mobility has been restored.
That my offer still stands.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Now, then there's a section that talks about the key messages of the different center performance that I won't go through that in detail. scrolling down the on 7.223, then we are having root cause recommendations and commitment.
Yes.
Overall root causes of significant findings. Bullet point one, the following are root causes for the lack of improved audit outcomes and non-achievement of service delivery objectives. Audit outcomes. Under that one, we have ineffective action plans and inadequate monitoring by the accounting officers or authorities, and then we have inadequate consequence management for supply chain management transgressions, instability and leadership within some of the entities, the inadequate financial management discipline over daily and monthly activities, for example, performance and review of reconciliations, review of financial statements, and so on and so forth. And there is also infrastructure and delivery infrastructure, the quality of monitoring and oversight of plan management are in some instances compromised by capacity and skills challenges. The underspending on capital expenditure and non-achievement of targets is largely due to delays in the procurement processes, impact of COVID-19 restrictions, core challenges in some of the awards, etc. Disruptions by local municipalities, business forums, or contractors filing matter for business rescue, disputes with contractors and work stoppages contribute to the delay in finalizing the project. Inadequate capacity in the project management units affects timely delivery and monitoring of the infrastructure projects. Key recommendations to and commitments by accounting officers and authorities. Develop and implement action plans that are root cause forecast and are assessed for effectiveness in addressing the findings. These action plans should include inter alia the findings, rating of the findings, root causes, allocated responsibilities, and indicate completion timelines. The implementation of the action plans must be reviewed by internal audit and reported to the audit committee on a regular basis. Implement disciplined financial reporting structures based on solid accounting and financial management knowledge. This should include finance and supply chain management divisions that are fully capacitated with required skills and competencies. Implementation of financial management disciplines, such as monthly reconciliations, segregation of duties, and reviews to monitor performance and consequence management, especially around supply chain management. There should be a culture of high performance and adherence to ethical standards. Where poor performance and transgressions with supply chain management systems are identified, appropriate actions should be taken in line with the internal processes, policies and procedures. Accounting officers and authorities must continue to do their work through audit committees to ensure management implement and enhance processes of review of the financial statements and performance information. Internal audit functions and audit and risk committees should enhance their independent review of the financial statements and annual performance report. Any deficiencies identified should be corrected by management before submission to the next level. Accounting officers and authorities should strengthen their oversight by ensuring that executive management are held accountable for poor performance and transgressions of the law. Develop, implement, and implement integrated action plans to address non-achievement of key indicators and monitoring of the progress towards the achievement of the medium-term strategic framework targets. Capacitate the supply chain management and project management units to ensure timely and quality delivery of infrastructure projects. Strengthen the oversight function at the department to ensure achievement of key performance indicators by the entities and provincial departments. Develop and implement proper procurement plan which takes into account the risk and mitigation of procurement delays and the impact thereof on delivery of infrastructure projects. In compliance with the relevant laws and regulations, develop a strategy to involve local communities key projects and continuous engagement with the relevant stakeholders to create awareness of the process to be followed to minimize disruption. In relation to PRASA, PRASA should implement a comprehensive turnaround plan to ensure improved audit outcomes and service delivery. This should include creating stability at the executive management level, fully capacitating critical units, effective and efficient procurement, and facilitating therefore and infrastructure modernization. Although CASA has multiple action plans, these need to be consolidated into a comprehensive general plan. The infrastructure modernization program should be urgently fast-tracked to ensure effective deployment and utilization of the new trains, which will ultimately have a positive impact on service delivery. CASA should facilitate the project management team to ensure the effective management of the Kibela contract including monitoring and enforcement of penalties where applicable. The board should finalize a lasting solution on the financial sustainability of Autopex through engagement with stakeholders such as the Department and National Treasury. PRASA should finalize the investigation into the possible ghost employees and implement corrective actions, recommendations, commitments by the executive authority. The authority should be committed to prioritize resources to establish a project management unit that will serve as an engineering and project management knowledge repository to assist provinces and municipalities in giving traction to projects funded through conditional grants. Strengthening of the shareholder contact with each of the entities and put measures in place to achieve the targets of eliminating fruitless and wasteful expenditure and reducing irregular expenditure by 75% by 2024. Restoring normalcy at the RTA following investigations that have affected fraudulent practices and attending to the finalization of the RTA organizational structure. The final determination on the funding of the GCIP to be made soon. Working with provinces and municipalities, improving efficiency, the driving license testing centers will be driven by a new service delivery mode. The rollout of the IPTNs will be equally strengthened by the establishment of an oversight mechanism under the leadership of the minister and the political principles of the relevant cities implementing IPTNs. This will ensure accountability for the implementation of the IPTNs at political level. Follow up with the accounting office and the boards to ensure that action plans to address all the findings are developed and implemented timely. Follow up with the accounting officers and the accounting authorities to ensure that executive management positions are filled with appropriately skilled and experienced personnel. Ensure that the culture of consequence management should be enforced in the portfolio. Continue to pay attention to CASA and Central to ensure that these entities timely deliver on key infrastructure projects. Reflections on implementation of recommendations. Action plans to address what the findings are given out, but not effectively implemented and not adequately monitored. Findings raised are in most cases recurring findings. The Auditor General has noted positive progress on the filling of vacancies at the board level and executive management, as well as DPG positions at the department. This will go a long way towards enhancing governance, accountability, and oversight in the portfolio. Recommendations to the portfolio committee. The big entities in the portfolio replicate best practices to achieve a clean audit. For entities where a clean audit was achieved, this should be maintained, and focus should shift to achieving strategic objectives and service delivery mandates. Accounting officers and authorities strengthen their oversight by ensuring that executive management are held accountable for poor performance and transgressions of the law. Accounting officers and authorities develop and implement action plans that are root cause focused and are assessed for effectiveness in addressing the findings. The executive authority continues to pay attention PRASA and Sandra to ensure that these entities timely deliver on key infrastructure projects. The progress towards achievement of the medium-term strategic framework targets is monitored and corrective actions are put in place where the portfolio is behind. There's a section on irregular and authorized production waste recognition. Total irregular expenditure identified was 1.8 million. The largest amount of 1.2 million was incurred by PRASA. The lack of adequate compliance, monitoring, and enforcement, together with the lack of consequence management, were identified as transversal root causes for incurring the irregular expenditure that will be your PRASA, Central, AXA, RMT, RCMC, and Sandra. There is also a slow response by management in addressing prior year control deficiencies and implementing the auditor's recommendations. Irregular expenditure under assessment amounts to 87.5 million. Fruitless and wasteful expenditure, identified was 291 million. The largest amount being 279 million incurred by PRASA. Top contributors were CASA, AXA, and ATMS. At CASA, the fruitless and wasteful expenditure mainly related to 190 million for work in progress costs written off due to lack of capitalization documents at 86 million pertaining to interest and penalties. At AXA, the fruitless and wasteful expenditure 4 million was due to interest on late payments. The irregular expenditure over 2 years. Top contributors to regular expenditure not dealt with the constitute 95% of 3.9 million. Sandra, Samsa, AXA, and LDSA were the main contributors to the regular expenditure that has not been dealt with or were condoned. In most instances, the ODT is awaiting the conclusion of investigation or determination assessment. Committee observations, that is your section 7.3, following the arrangement with the Auditor General. The Auditor General indicated that the transport portfolio had shown a slight improvement in performance, and this was evident in the improved audit outcomes of the RTMC that the unqualified opinion with no findings. The CBRCA received its seventh unqualified opinion with no findings. The GLCA, with its third consecutive year of an unqualified opinion with no findings, and SANCA with its ninth unqualified opinion with no findings in the past 10 years. The department for the sixth year received an unqualified opinion with findings, which also contained a number of the key findings. Although RTA did not submit the annual report in time for the B-RRR process, the Auditor General indicated that their audit outcome for the second consecutive year was a qualified opinion of findings, despite the fact that the audit was finalized around, and the outcome could not be released until the annual report was tabled. The continued dispute from the previous financial year remains unresolved and may impact the overall performance of the portfolio once the audit outcome is released and the annual report for the past 2 years are tabled. The department and its entities received the following findings. Unqualified audit with no material findings with respect to a spring audit, and the entities in question were the CBRCA, ESA, and they were tabled in time despite all the findings having been presented by Auditor General. The South African Civil Aviation Authority, the Railway Safety Regulator, the Road Transit Management Corporation, and the Post Regulator. Unqualified findings, the ones that received unqualified findings would be what the Department of Transport, SAMHSA, Central, and ATS. Qualified with findings comprise ARTIA, while ARTIA did not take in time, despite the findings not being presented by the charges. Same on findings, under that section we will be having your CASA. Failure to submit a finding still outstanding, that will be your road accident fund. The committee was pleased to note that the CBRCA has continued to retain unqualified audits with no material findings, despite the challenges it confronts. The most significant of the challenges that remain is the one around the unsustainable funding regime of the entity, border crossing backlogs, COVID-19, the lockdown restrictions on travel, and that the impact on the issuance of passenger payments for the South African Lesotho route remains unresolved. The committee welcomed the improved audit findings from the unqualified material findings to unqualified with no material findings from RCMC. Although it has not yet submitted the annual report, the committee noted the stagnation in audit outcome of the RCMC of qualified with findings. The committee expressed concern over the failure to submit annual reports from the Road Accident Fund, the Road Traffic Infringement Agency, and the driving license card account in time for the current B-RRR process. The committee further expressed concern that PRASA has received a disclaimer with findings for 3 years in a row, and that the entity was also part of the top contributors to irregular, fruitless, and wasteful expenditure for the under review, and was also one of the worst performing entities in terms of meeting their payment targets. Although the achievement of prerequisite performance targets is to be applauded, the committee was of the view that there remained insufficient leakages between the meeting of targets and an annual or tangible improvement in service delivery standards to all transport stakeholders. It was also important to note that the Auditor General still did not audit the same number of outcomes per audit as in the years preceding the 2019-20 financial year. For this reason, the committee continues to urge that the department and its entities move towards development of key performance targets that would have tangible and measurable results that show actual and or improved service delivery to all transport stakeholders. This was also an aspect raised by the Auditor General in his presentation to the committee. It was noted that Sandra received its 19 unqualified audit opinion with emphasis of matter. This may require a new approach to the plans being put in place to adequately address the audit findings, greater emphasis on consequence management and compliance with the supply chain management prescripts, and an urgent need to finalize the GFIP funding model concerns. SACA is commended for once again being an end-to-end department that managed to achieve all of its performance targets for the financial year under review. Which is an achievement of 8 years in a row. The railway safety regulator made 94% of their targets. This is a regression from the achievement of all targets in the previous year. For the sixth consecutive year, the committee notes a failure by the department to ensure that all its agencies table their annual reports on time, and that the committee will once more be unable to engage and perform its oversight function fully over three entities that it failed to table within the BRRR process. Although the annual reports of these entities could not be engaged on, the committee noted the comments by the Auditor General on the audit outcomes of RCI and the BLCA, and noted the reasons provided by the Auditor General and the Minister on the delays in the finalization and tabling of the road accident fund annual report. Although the committee received the SASA NSRI annual report, these are not generally audited as separate entities or regarded as entities of the department, as their expenditure and funding is regarded as a line item under the department's budget that is audited as part of the department's annual financial statements. Once more, the top areas of material non-compliance remain the failure to prevent unauthorized, irregular, and fruitless investment expenditure, lack of consequence management, non-compliance with legislation and regulations when it comes to procurement and contract management, as well as material misstatements to financial statements submitted for audit. The key root causes identified by the Auditor General were instability of leadership within some of the entities, that management had not implemented adequate review and monitoring controls over the preparation of financial statements. Management had not implemented adequate controls to prevent non-compliance with procurement legislation, and management had not been effective in developing and monitoring the implementation of action plans to address audit findings. From the presentations and engagements, the committee noted those areas where improvements were evident. However, it concluded that the department and its entities had not been able to clear the findings through implementing all recommendations and corrective measures proposed by the Auditor General and those that the committee has made since the start of the current term. The department must focus more attention on ensuring that action plans are implemented to address TAIE audit findings, and that sustainable solutions are implemented to prevent the recurrence of findings in the area of compliance with key applicable legislation.
So, but my recommendation still stands.
I'm almost done, Jay.
All right.
Yeah. Let me start off now from the paragraph, because I think it highlights some issues. It cannot be stressed enough that the budget target and keep on the area set by the department and implementers or recipients of all grants allocated under transport goals must be linked to actual tangible service delivery to the citizens of the country. The committee needs oversight over the department has continued to request the minister to ensure that proper monitoring and oversight is performed over all grant allocation projects in order to see to it that the actual performance targets achieved through some strengths translating to actual service delivery on the ground in value for money. This is especially evident based on the feedback from the Auditor General regarding the PRMG fund use and the need for the department to enhance the internal monitoring mechanisms to ensure strict adherence to the grant conditions and that any control deficiencies around compliance monitoring are addressed expediently. Most frustrating is that the committee and its predecessors recommended the need for the department and its entities to ensure further and continued training of supply chain management staff. The department slightly altered this list of interventions to remedy SEM inefficiencies and prevent regular expenditure, as those listed in the past 5 years were clearly insufficient since they were once more findings of irregular expenditure, but the only outcome for transport portfolio. The committee remains resolute that there is a need for the entire transport portfolio to strengthen its supply chain management staff through training and equipment, and equipping them sufficiently rather, as well as implementing the supply chain management policy reviews to strengthen the internal SEM compliance further. The entities must comply with all their SEM policy requirements and tender requirements, since the failure to do this resulted in findings against entities such as Sandra. There is also a need to ensure that uncertainty in interpretation of terms linked to SEM and BBBE compliance is a result between the Office of the Auditor General and the entities to prevent future audit outcome delays and other findings due to differences in interpretation. And then now under 7.4 we have the committee observation now with specific reference to the entities. I'm not sure whether the chair would like me to go through all of them or I will just consider them as a right. I would like to have your guidance in that regard, Charles.
My guidance is very consistent.
Okay.
Pick up what you think is of importance. I can pick them up, but I don't want to do it for you.
Okay, true.
Because at the end of the day, this is what the committee must adopt.
Yes.
And so forth.
Thank
for
you.
Instance, here you will note the last paragraph, if I can give you an example, that everything you talk about here, in ACSA for instance, is something you've already spoken to about the implication of COVID,
yes, sir.
The amounts that were irregular, which you have already handled previously. You also highlight the issue of wasteful expense you've already dealt with, what AG said, and COVID. But if you then go to the last paragraph, the entity will need to report back to the committee on the deployment of its new parking and ongoing project upgrade. You are now coming back to zoom in to say this is what the committee would like to see. So if you could pick up similar type of things to say what so that the committee can apply its mind and agree or disagree with that particular recommendation, observation, or add on it. I hope I'm giving enough guidance there.
Yeah, that is much appreciated.
Okay.
Thank you very much indeed. As I'm trying to heed the advice provided by the chair, I think the key area of focus in terms of these recommendations now, as per the report, will be to zoom in then on Sandra and with specific reference to the issue of the GFIP, which has been going on for And I don't have the hand, but even on occasion, the minister making a commitment that the issue is, I mean, is going to be resolved soon, but that has not been the case. The committee remains concerned that the issue of the outcome of which commits to pay financial pressure salary is to collect the cut to collect fees from drug users, which is not to pay the JFE, but it's all fees. The matter is still before cabinet, and some are still await direction in this regard. The agency continues to experience financial pressure on the toll portfolio. It is entirely due to the facility under collection of the JFE per eight holes. The committee noted this engagement with the department that undertaken GCP toll discussions were still not finalized, and despite past indications that a pronouncement of the proposal was due by the end of October 2019. And in the absence of the finalization of the GCP toll matter from the Minister Cabinet, the ending should continue to hold engagements with the relevant stakeholders to find either interim rather, or permanent solutions. And then coming to PRASA, the committee remains concerned that the entity has not been able to improve on ensuring safety and security of the company assets, infrastructure, and passengers. This is evident from the various media reports and committee oversight during the annual review. It is furthermore concerned regarding the slow progress by the entity in bringing the key corridors back online. The committee is concerned that there remains instability in key management positions at the entity that is PRASA, such as your group CEO. These vacancies must be filled as soon as possible. Coming to Artia remains statement on a qualified opinion with a repeat qualifications on irregular expenditure and also assets and liabilities. The first qualification item related to the completeness of irregular expenditure opening balance that could not be confirmed. This finding is a repeat finding of which management was required to have done investigations to ensure irregular expenditure disclosed in the financial statement was complete. The report from management and the external service provider were only provided to auditors late in July 2022. And based on the review of this report, it was concluded that it did not properly or effectively address the root causes raised in the previous year. And the second qualification item was due to...
Can you go straight to 8? Go straight to 8. So that colleagues can have enough time to make their input and give their, because that is where the crux of the matter is.
Okay.
Not to say the others are not, but this is where we begin to zoom in.
Okay.
So let's deal with 8 and take it from there.
Okay, great. The first recommendation is that the department must provide the committee with a quarterly update on the filling of board vacancies so that board memberships are filled well in time to a functioning board in order to prevent a recurrence of the annual report delays, as well as ensure effective and efficient control over and the fiduciary duty fulfillment in all entities of the department. Point two, the department should give a quarterly update on the filling of vacancies in senior positions within the department and its entities. Point three, the department should do its best to submit all planned legislation to Parliament by no later than the last quarter of the year three, or at the latest by the first quarter of year four of the strategic plans. number four, the department should provide a full report on all public transport operation grant contracts in place and how far the various departments are in advertising new tenders for these roads. Furthermore, the report should indicate the dates of conclusion of these contracts, how many times these contracts have been extended, and the periods of the extension, what orders are the estimation of these contracts, and whether the PTOG subsidies have been paid on the number of passengers transported over a number of kilometers per operation road. The report should be submitted to the committee within 30 days after the adoption of this report by the House. The department should provide quarterly reports on the implementation of the following grants, PRMG, RAMS, MIG, Expanded Public Works Program, Integrated Grant from Municipalities and PTMG. These reports must indicate the past 5-year budget allocation for these grants to each province and municipality benefiting from this, what projects have benefited from these grants in the past 5 years, what projects are projected to benefit from these grants in the next 5 years, status of projects, planning, plans in progress or completion dates, if grant allocations were suspended, give reasons for the suspension and possible grounds or conditions for readmission. Six, department should provide quarterly updates on whether there was any uptake by the taxi industry of the COVID-19 relief fund for the industry, and if not, how these funds have been reprioritized. The department and the LSA must provide quarterly reports on progress with narrowing the backlog of driver license card production, as well as progress on the cabinet process towards the new card format. And the department in PRASA must provide quarterly reports on progress with bringing the full passenger rail service back online, as well as the progress with new train rollout and depot finalization to store this train safely. This report must also contain information on the appointment and rollout of the safety plans to prevent vandalism, theft of, and encroachment on the PRASA infrastructure and rail reserves. Nine, the department must provide a quarterly road maintenance report on the national, provincial, and municipal road maintenance work and expenditure. This must also include the road number and location, the responsive sphere, the access condition of the road, whether it is in good, fair, or poor condition, information on when the last maintenance was of the road and what work was done, and the cost or expenditure on this work, future plan maintenance projects with budget allocations. 10, the department and ASA must provide their report within 30 days of adoption of this report by the House on the airport infrastructure expansion projects, which must also include information on the extent of expansion, upgrade, or projects which airports will be expanded or upgraded, timeframes and time to delivery dates, budget estimates for the expansion and projected impact on airport operations during the project implementation. 11, the department must provide quarterly reports on the various municipal, provincial, and national projects with the specific focus on portal repairs. This report should also include the available platforms or methods for reporting potholes to the responsible sphere, the quarterly expenditure on photo-specific repairs, any PPP or community partnerships in place for ensuring potholes repairs, as well as the legal or departmental expenditure by each sphere on claims against the sphere for vehicle damage or personal injury and claims due to potholes. 12, the department and central must provide quarterly reports on the Moloto Road and other Moloto Corridor projects, if any, and progress on the road infrastructure projects and public transport provision along the corridor and expenditure on these for each quarter. Recommendations made by...
All right. Have some water. Colleagues, 8.1. are issues that came out of the stretch plan, the APPs, and the budget vote for 2022. More straightforward and standard, without suppressing anybody, I don't think there is much that we would want to change there. But I invite you if you've got any comments. On 8.2, colleagues, this is already what was presented to us by the AGSA last week, and we have already accepted it that we will adopt it in our report. So there is no need to re-agitate that. So barring your comments, if any, on 8.1, where we really need to apply our minds more would be on 8.3. I invite you, colleagues, if there are any comments after that guidance. Honorable Mabena.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. I think 8.1.1.7, which has to do with DLCA and everything else. I think maybe prepare for an recommendation that because if you read the report at the top, it speaks about the machine breaking down as a result of flooding in the adjacent building next to that one. So I think perhaps what we can add here is that we can recommend that the production of driver's license cards, that we perhaps recommend that there should be a devolution, because currently centralized at national level, where only DLCA is the one that is tasked with that. Perhaps that may even trigger legislation in terms of if needs be that we do that, so that we can, you know, take it to provinces, where provinces can be in a position to do that. Why am I also saying that? It's because the current machine that they are using, the one that they had to take and service outside of the country, is coming to its lifespan is coming to an end, and they are going to introduce new driver's license cards. So as such, in that procurement window where they have to procure additional capacity and whatnot, they can obviously, as a pilot project, get 8 additional machines, and then you take this thing, you give it to provinces. But also as a pilot project, which we have done with other pilot projects, the one that comes to mind is this one of the points demerit system of the licenses, which was piloted at Metro. I think City of Tshwane, City of Johannesburg, City of Cape Town, all of those. So we can also take that and also include Metros, where there's capacity, because at least Metros, they have a much bigger budget where you can also deal with driver's license cards. There was also at the top of the same report, there was about 598,000 in terms of backlog. So I think a recommendation from the committee, perhaps, that the department can maybe think about, start to process, maybe give us feedback in terms of is it aligned or is it not aligned. Because here is the issue. If one province is having a challenge, you can always take that responsibility and feed it to the next province, which then can assist in terms of the backlog as and when it happens. But you are avoiding a situation where when you have a breakdown, like it crashes the entire country, like there's a total blackout as far as that is concerned. But then if it's in the provinces, any province which is not performing or a province that is performing, you can always supplement it with any other province which is there. And I think that will speak to the devolution of this one. What else did I note here? Okay. And then on the other issue of the IPTN, the really...
bullet number?
Let me use something here. Okay, so I can't find it here on the comment, but perhaps we can add it to say on the IPTN with regards to the progress as far as Bulukwane and Port Elizabeth, because I think we want, unless if I've missed it, we're not receiving
in terms of regular updates, what is going on, what is happening, are they making any progress, and perhaps maybe even think about maybe visiting those, just trying to see if any work is being done there. Oh yes, and then there's the other issue of the revised taxi free program. I see here the target was 3,500, and they have done 2,533.
You're on which bullet, colleague?
Chair, on
remember, we are on 8.1, dealing with recommendations.
Yeah, but I was hoping that perhaps we can also add these ones, but I can come back, it's fine.
No, if you want to add, say so, so you'd like to add the following and paraphrase it, or we'll ask the team to assist in phrasing it. That's what I'm trying to say, not to restrict you, but if it is an additional recommend, just say you want an additional one to read in this way, then we can consider that.
Thanks, Chair. Yes, I think also in terms of the the revised tax rehabilitation program. You see, every time that this is reported on, there's like they always qualify to say that it's dependent on the uptake, the slow uptake, and this and that and that. But trust me, I think we need to get someone that will be in charge of that program within the department, set their performance metrics against that, make sure that they visit, they bring to the table all these strategic national tax associations, you know, NTA, Santaco, speak to these people, understand what is the challenge, why are they not coming to the party as far as this issue is concerned. Because if it just constantly becomes a by-the-way issue, then we're not going to make progress. Ever since I arrived in this committee in 2019, every time we're reporting on this program, this is nothing has changed. You can even go and read the legacy report that we got when we got here onto, like into the committee as far as the tax recap is concerned. And at some point before COVID, there was also a tendency of making the that program to be a victim of violence consistently. So I think one, the department must also give us an actual plan, give us a plan, written plan, so that we can track and monitor it as to how far they are and who is actually responsible for that. If needs be, get a few people in charge of that, and then let's see what is happening. Because one thing that we can't shy away and run away from, you know, if you take a taxi from Johannesburg to
the recommendation we have captured, that the department must produce a plan with specific time frames as to when this project will be delivered.
And then also, if you come back again to 8.1.1.1 with regards to the filling of vacancies and whatnot, but there's also maybe another one that perhaps we can add here in terms of the attrition rate of the department is above the recommended 10%, which is stated in terms of legislation. Now, what does that say? It talks to a lot of issues. One, there's no attrition prediction model which is there, which exists within the talent acquisition team at the department. Two, it speaks about employee wellness, and there's no optimized talent acquisition and retention strategies which exist within the department, but also speaks about the lack of stability in terms of leadership. And perhaps if you want to stretch it out, there seems to be some sort of a toxic working environment, because you can't, when you have a harmonious working relationship, you continuously losing stuff. And where this becomes a problem is that you get to lose experienced and valuable staff members. So therefore, as far as that is concerned, the department must also tell us in terms of what is exactly that. Because one other thing that we can also quiz them on is on the issue of exit interviews when people leave. I mean, that's a standard practice as far as HR prescriptions is concerned. What? Why are you losing so much staff? Why is there high staff turnover? And then, again, if we... on the issue of the program performances on maritime, there was something which they mentioned at the top there, that they're going to shift some funds into the current financial year, and they mentioned also the IMO conference, and they cited COVID-19. I was a bit confused there, because we've obviously come out of COVID. That IMO conference has happened, or was this report done before that? What is happening there? If maybe we can be assisted, the chair. I think I'll come back.
Okay, colleagues, as you think of coming back, we are likely to lose two colleagues out of the meeting due to urgent issues that cropped up as they were here in the meeting. So that threatens our quorum to be able to continue and adopt such a report. So, and the time limitation becomes very little. In fact, it is 12 o'clock. Maybe we can stretch it with their indulgence to 12:15, if possible. So I'm asking for your assistance, colleagues. This is a BRRR report. Let's focus on recommendations. Let's leave the preambles. They are very important. We will find another time. I want to adjust this recommendation to read the following, or I am proposing a new recommendation in the following. Let's just leave it at that. I think we'll make progress. I see Honorable McDee on my right and Honorable Ramadua. Yes.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let's follow suit on the recommendation of the Chairperson. So, Chair, if I can just run through quickly some of the recommendations that I would like to maybe see, if possible, if the committee agrees, Chairperson. Firstly, Chairperson, in this whole report, we didn't see anything about the mainline services of Braza, and we only saw a slight touch on the waterbacks. I think on the mainline services, I just checked, you can't book online, you can't get a train ticket, there's no trains running. It's a crucial part of the South African economy. If we can maybe have a recommendation that the department within a certain time gives us a report on the mainline services, Chairperson, through you. Chairperson, then on the... we need to put somewhere that AT&S, when we went through that presentation of AT&S, they are desperately in need of additional funding for their virtualized ATC services, because they are they don't have enough staff. It's going to assist us with future expansion and with additional revenue for AT&S. Very important. We need to move into that. The whole world is moving into virtualized air traffic navigation services. Then Chairperson, on the accident on South African Civil Aviation Authority, there needs to be a clearer guidance on who investigates what accident. Just to run through it without wasting any time, there was an accident with the police Pilatus. The most of the fatalities were civilians. And SACA is not investigating that accident. Why not? Because they should be investigating whenever a civilian dies. And also, it's in their mandate, Chairperson. I just wanted to just quickly say, you know, their mandate says that they maintain the safety of all aircraft in the airspace. So it's very important that contextualize somewhere, because otherwise we're going to have a problem where more people die, and it's because of negligence in SAPS or South African Air Force or somewhere, and civilians die, that we have to have a coherent investigation there. Chairperson, I've got many other things, but I'm going to pause there, Chairperson, to give other people the opportunity to also add. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Okay, Okay, thanks, Honorable McBee. You will note, colleagues, that we are on 8.3. When we start talking to those specific entities, they are listed in 8.3, so that could also assist as you make your recommendation. I've noted you, Honorable Hunsinger, after Honorable Ramadwa, and then after Honorable Hunsinger will be Honorable Nolichum.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. I'm going to be straight to the point. I'm not going to take your time. In 8.1.1.1, concerning the filling of vacancy of board members, the report is indicating that the board membership are filled well. I think we need to be specific, not because this is filling well, it's broad. If we can just be specific, maybe indicating that the people who fill these vacancies must be skilled or having skills. I think, I don't know how to put it, but this is broad. I think we need to be specific and indicate that they must be skillful, the people who are going to fill. And then in 8.1.8 on PRASA, on the report, the report is saying about the security, the information on the role, on the appointment and roll out of the security plans. I think we need to have time frame there. When due date, when must they be filled? I think we need to have due date. Those are the two things that I wanted us to consider. Chairperson, thank you.
Thank you very much. Honorable Hunsinger.
Thank you, Chairperson. Just my appreciation for Dr. Ngesi for really pushing us through a lengthy document. Well done, Doctor. Surveys have suggested that men talk 2,500 words a day, women 7,000, and I think he's done for the week. He might be done for the whole week after that report. Chairperson, 2 points. As much as I support Honorable MacDonald in his quest to, you know, have some higher standard of investigation on aviation crashes, and his suggestion to include this in this portfolio committee's report, that everything, all air crashes and incidents should be investigated by the Civil Aviation Authority, I would just caution that we look at matters of state security, since it was a SAPS aircraft that crashed, and current state security regulation restricts and dedicates investigation into particular categories based on the ownership of such an craft. So just that we don't end up with expressing a wrong desire. 8.1.1.7 talks of driver's license, which is not mentioned anywhere in current legislation. It is a driving license, so just a technical point there. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Before I go to Honorable Nol Chungu, maybe I was going to comment there, but you raised it, that the fact that it says the Civil Aviation Authority, it really in a way restricts it to civil aviation incident. But I think the point being made is very valid. We need to find a way of treat how we treat it without losing it. In terms of what Honorable Ramadwa said, filled well, there it was referring to time, well on time, but I think the point additional to that is that it must be with the appropriate skills and experiences, which I think the committee will capture as such. Honorable Nolchumu.
Thank you, Chair. I don't know how to put this one, but on page 24, they speak of accessible, safe, and universally accessible transport as one of their milestones, but nothing is mentioned in terms of the recommendations where we will provide universally accessible transport. But I would like to suggest that the report on universally accessible transport, because when you speak of universally accessible, you speak of scholar transport, you speak of people with disabilities. So I would like to see that expressed in the recommendations. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Caught me by surprise while I'm still chewing. Honorable Kumalo, Honorable McDonald, and Honorable Mabena.
Thank you, Chair. Excuse me. Chair, I think although I won't be able to mention under the recommendations of the report where I should feature it in, but the rehabilitation of N2 and N3, respectfully, where number of life loss has been happening, the plan that is made put in place to ensure that when is the project will be finalized. I'm saying this, Chair, and I think it should be captured in the report because, I mean, the festive season is kicking in and tourists will be visiting, particularly the KwaZulu-Natal province, and roads there are still causing chaos and a lot of havoc is happening there. I think I would like to amend the report to show wherever it can appear. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Kumalo. Honorable McBee.
Thank you, Chair. It's just something I forgot on the when we discussed in the meetings with AXA, their maintenance budget was extremely low, and we can see it in the when you visit the airports. We also agreed in that their budget was too low for maintenance in that meeting when we were with AXA Chairperson. And if we can mention that, maybe a recommendation. I don't know how to word it properly, Chair. I'm not a certified accountant, but I'm sure we have quite capable people here, Chairperson. And I also want to just add something, Chairperson, on that accident. I agree that it might not be in the South African Civil Aviation Authority to investigate crashes that are relate to state aircraft, but the safety of aircraft, irrespective of the state of the arm of the state, is all the certification of planes are with SOCA, the safety of planes. In other words, the airworthiness. So on two occasions in 2021, there was an from Pilatus themselves was a notice sent to the South African Police Services and to SOCA that plane has got a problem with its wing struts, and there's certain things that they have to do to maintain the plane. It was never done. So my thing that there must be better cooperation between SUBS and SOCA regarding safety of aircraft in general. Chair, thank you very much.
Thank you. Honourable Mabena.
Thank you very much, Chair President. 8.1.1.12, the department and central must provide quarterly reports on the Mloto Road and other Mloto corridor projects. If any, like we need to remove that in brackets, if any, they must provide quarterly reports. Not that, because if you say if any, you are giving them an option, that they could say, no, this like this quarter is not. They must generate one.
Okay. I think that's point well taken. Honorable Hunsinger.
Thank you, Chair. I want to support the argument of Honorable McDonald, and I think the solution might be something which we considered when looking at the Civil Aviation Amendment Bill, in that the desire was to have a totally independent investigation department, which is also recognized as being ideal, but due to financial constraints it was then agreed to accommodate it under the current dispensation where it's semi-independent. That might be the ultimate solution, to have a totally independent aircraft crash and incident investigation bureau of some sort, which would then cover all cases, also the ones which is referenced. So it might be good to formulate the recommendation that the work is not done with the current dispensation of investigations, in that it would be ideal to have a totally independent body that does the investigations. Thank you, Jane.
Thank you. I suggest that could be one of the recommendations to the minister rather than to any of the entities. We've got recommendation to the minister, minister of finance or treasury, and we've got recommendations to the minister and the presidency. Honorable Ramadua.
Thank you, Honorable.
Thank you. When listening to the discussions on the entities, there are entities that we have never met because they're getting clean audit, but there are issues of service delivery. So my suggestion is that let us meet all the entities that are under transport, because there are issues that are raised. I don't want to indicate which ones because we don't have much time, but we know that there are entities that are having issues, though they got clean audit, and it seems as if they don't have problems. They are having problems. If I can give an example of portal regulator, they are not sure because now we are going to make it single. So now they are questioning themselves. There are many challenges. So we need to meet them. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Honorable Ramadwa. I think that is a consideration for the committee, given the committee's tight schedule, but not necessarily for the BRRR report. Because we can't report ourselves to the National Assembly that we must meet our own entities. It's within our purview. So, no, there is nothing wrong we have done. Don't be sorry. I'm just saying that as the team is listening, let them just package it well so that when we discuss our program at some stage, we can see how best we can consider that. Colleagues, I think all those notes are well taken on board. And I think if I look at what is remaining of the report that the good doctor is presenting, we would have covered everything. But I would like to maybe draw your attention particularly if there is anything that might be missing on 8.3.4, which are recommendations to the Minister of Finance, and 8.3.5, which are recommendations to the Minister in the Presidency. The rest of what the issues the colleagues have raised have been taken care of one way or the other. The team will just need to expand or amend certain recommendations either to specific entities or to the department or to the minister through the department. I think I'm comfortable that those are covered. But if you would just look at that and see if you are satisfied with those two paragraphs or is there anything that you feel needs to be added on there. There are very few. On the Minister of Finance, assist the department and its entities along with AGSA to obtain definitive interpretation of SCM terminology. Assist the department feasibility studies linked to possible future Moloto rail corridor and other high-speed rail corridors there. Listening to the colleagues, I think the issue that Honorable MacDonald was raising there about a budgeting for VOR particularly could fit in here also, because it's a budgetary issue. That would be my submission, so that we do not lose it. Anybody else on the recommendation to the Minister of Finance? I think we are fine. A recommendation to the minister in the presidency is going back to the issue of GFIP that I think somebody raised earlier. I hope it belongs to the minister in the presidency, but I think it's a sign of frustration on the committee itself, because firstly we were saying the minister, now we are saying maybe somebody else can assist us. But maybe what we could do, we could try and structure it that it also includes the Minister of Finance, because all the pronouncements were suggesting that the Minister of Finance and the Minister of Transport should come up with a solution. So I think let's find a way of capturing both of them under maybe the same there, or repeat those recommendations. Are we fine, colleagues, there under the presidency? Yes, Honourable.
Sorry, Chairperson. I was just thinking aloud now, apologies, on the recommendations to the Finance Minister, if we could not add at the bottom paragraph where it assists the Department of Finalization with new feasibility studies linked to a possible future Mulatto rail corridor and other high-speed rail corridors, if we can't add the infrastructure investment in the other entities as well. I mean, I'm sure Oxa is going to need a lot of finance to broaden, to put another runway in, etc., etc. Chairperson, I don't know how to if we want to add it. I'm just making a suggestion. Thank you, Chairperson.
I hear you, colleague, but I think the limitation, or what we must try and limit ourselves to, it's not a limitation, but we must try and confine ourselves, because most of what comes out here is coming out of the annual reports and the performance report and the AGSA report. So where something did not come out here, maybe the temptation to add on too many things, whilst we know the response to the Minister in Finance has not always been positive. But the issue that you are raising was discussed when we were engaging with AXA. They did respond to it. So I don't think there is anything wrong in us putting it in there, but I'm just saying to colleagues, as we structure our recommendations, let's just think, what is this report about? What are we trying to achieve? You know, but I think it's a fair recommendation. All right, colleagues, moving on. Mm-hmm. On summary of reports in 9, I think there it's really the reporting requests that some of have been flagged also, where we are adding on. So what really the team is doing here is extracting from all the other things and now putting them in a sort of matrix form and putting in dates and so forth, so that we are able to track it. So anticipate that this list will expand a little bit given the recommendations that we have added on there. So I think it's straightforward here. It's exactly the same things that we have already said, but here it's just linking it to time frames and zooming into those things. And obviously, in conclusion, the committee there recommend, also just summarizes again, a conclusion is a conclusion, appreciation there. And so forth. And I think it does bring us to the end of that report. Unless there's something I'm missing. Anybody who wants to have a last bite?
No, the report was comprehensive.
Nobody closed outside. Nobody suppressed. All right. So, colleagues, thank you very much. And thank you once more, Doc, to the team. And please extend our appreciation to Advocate. We miss her, but we know that she's always passionate about these things. But we wanted to prioritize her health, because we want her, next year we are going to run very fast. So we want her very energetic and fit. So let her take care of her health. So colleagues, our next agenda item really is to adopt this report. Obviously the amendments, and normally we would accept that those amendments would be there, so that we accept this report, so that it then would go into the system. Unless colleagues would want to take a different approach, because it's me sitting here, but if it's no different approach because you don't like me, I would ask for anybody to move for adoption of this report with its amendments. Honourable McDee.
Chairperson, I move Honourable McDonald moves for the adoption of the report with the recommendations and additions. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you. Any seconder? Honourable Kumalo.
Thank you, Chair. I do second the adoption of the report with its amendments. Thanks.
Thank you very much, colleagues. Honourable Nolchung.
Chair, please move that session to the EFF.
And the rejection of the people. Jefferson, these reports do not work. And I'm sure to ask for the department and all the entities to give reports and reports in reports. What change has it caused? And understand me correctly, I'm talking of 8 years of experience. So,
okay. We note your abstention.
But if
if we
talk in the House, for example,
yes.
we support the report in the sense of the hard work that's gone in and that it's technically. But then when we object and we are critical, then you accuse us of being on both sides. So I'm upfront now.
What must we record, Honourable?
We reject
you. All right.
You are in opposition, you must do that. That's your way.
Your rejection is noted. Colleagues, thank you very much. What will happen is that the report will be circulated anyway before it is 86. And if there are any issues that could be missed by the team, you'll still have an opportunity to deal with that. Colleagues, with a few minutes left, we have the following minutes to consider. I had said 2 sets. I think I missed it totally. There are 4 sets.
Yes.
The first set is the 27th of September, which was circulated to us. And I did not see any things that were amiss there. Anybody with any issue on the minutes of the 27th of September? Can I have a motion for adoption of the minutes of the 27th of September and a seconder?
Chief?
Yes, sir.
Honorable McDonald moves for the adoption.
Thank you. Honorable Kumalo?
Thank you, Chair. I do second.
Thank you very much. The minutes of the 27th September are duly adopted. There are minutes of the 11th of October, 2022, also presented before the committee for consideration. Any mover?
Chairperson.
Honourable Kumalo.
Thank you, Chair. I move that the minutes be adopted.
Thank you.
Honourable McDonald seconds, Chairperson.
Thank you so much. Minutes of the 11th October, duly adopted. Minutes of the 12th of October, 2022, presented before the committee. Honourable Kumalo.
Thank you, Chairperson. I move that minutes.
Or did I jump, Honourable Hunsing? I looked like wanted to say. Oh, wasn't there. All right. Honourable McDonald.
Chair, I was in that meeting, Chair, so I second that.
Thank you very much. The minutes of the 12th of October are therefore adopted. Last but not least, the minutes of the 13th of October, 2022, and I know Honourable Mabena was in that meeting physically. Honourable McDonald.
Chairperson, I move for the adoption of that minutes. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Honourable Mabena.
Honourable Mabena.
the minutes of the 13th of October.
Okay.
So you are not seconding those minutes.
No.
All right. Minutes of the 13th of October. I'm looking for a seconder. It was on Thursday.
Yeah. You were there.
Thank you very much. The minutes of the 13th of October are duly adopted. Thank you very, very 13th of October. So thank you very much. Colleagues, that brings us to the end of the agenda for today. I see Honorable Mabena, you have something pressing.
Thank you very much, Chairperson.
you mentioned, okay, the colleagues, you said that you're extending the time. I'm needed to leave at 6:15, so we have about 6 minutes to kill. You mentioned...
Just
three. You mentioned at the start of the meeting that you're going to have a meeting with the team, with the support staff. And I'm not sure if we're going to receive a report as far as that is concerned, because there's a lot of outstanding issues. When we had the Muloto oversight, we made recommendations that the Secretariat must write 3 letters. 1, to the Minister of Transport. 2, to the Treasury, Minister of Finance. 3, to the committee, to the chairperson of committees, which was Cedric Froley. And we gave timelines when we were there, because we had that impromptu meeting, and that was a long time ago. I think that happened in April already, and now we're in October. There has been nothing that we've received, absolutely nothing. And we said that those letters must be circulated to members. Nothing has happened, zero. So we're just still in the dark. So essentially it means whatever we did there, we just booked hotels, took hired cars, just went there, sat down, came back, and wasted taxpayers' money. But even when we said we want consequence management, want to understand what transpired, what happened, some people were not there. Those things are not here. And then, I'm not sure if this is also relevant here, but hoping that perhaps you'll give us a report back on your meeting. The department also reported that they answered all our questions, and sometimes we don't get timely feedback. I was checking if it's feasible for us to say, as and when they respond to the parliamentary question system, that they copy the secretariat in as far as those that affect us. If it's feasible, yes. If not, maybe we can provide reasons why it's not. But obviously, you know, like a new broom sweeps clean. We're hoping that this could also be part of those issues. Bonga.
All right. Thank you, colleagues. Well, the reason I had mentioned the meeting I'll be having was that so that when people see there's another meeting, they don't think there's something sinister. Otherwise, it's a normal management meeting that the chairperson, also Honorable Zwane, would have been holding all the time, just to manage the affairs of the portfolio committee. So it's not something that people should worry about. There shouldn't be anything that, in this one particularly, is just to bring me up to speed as to what are the things, so that one is able to pick up if there are any loose things that need to be tied up. But any other issue, as I said when I started, that colleagues feel like has fallen through the cracks along the way, the example that Honorable Mabena raised, let us find a way of raising them. You know, we'll try and find, I don't know how, through meetings and say, are there any issues, particularly issues of decisions taken or decisions, so that we can be able to make sure that as much as possible, all of us are on board, you know. So I will not be giving back a formal feedback report, because it's just a normal catch-up to understand what are the issues. Because whatever would be discussed will find expression in the functioning of the committee anyway, but it's just to get myself up to speed, make sure that I do not have things falling behind the cracks. The other thing that I wanted to remind colleagues of, so that we could release those that need to go, is that next week on the 25th in the House, there is a consideration of the NLTA Amendment Bill Act, the one that was rejected by the President. It's going back again. So that the colleagues can remember that. Although it's not yet put in specific dates, but obviously the BRRR report will be going there. Some quarterly reports will be coming. Something that the Secretariat is following up is the report on the petition that caused us to respond to that petition somewhere, KZN, that area there. It was ATC'd, but for whatever reason, that report has not found itself to the House. So those are some of the things that we could pick up on the issues that are there. Mayor Ramadwa has raised a desire that even other entities that we would not have seen during this process,
or even in the last year or two, we look at how we could squeeze them in, and I'm sure that's something that we will look at. Of particular interest, I think there are two entities that are critical. The Road Accident Fund, there is this outstanding issue of the Road Accident Fund and the AGFA. There is a lot of activity at SCOPA, and I think it's not fair that the committee that is mainly responsible for RAF is following SCOPA. We need to find a way of bringing this thing to us, or at least express an opinion, even if we can't take, because our roles are different. And there is the whole issue of ACSA, which has got issues that we couldn't tackle, particularly last week, which were raised some time back. So I thought that, colleagues, I would just say those are things that we should keep on reminding each other so that they don't fall through the cracks. Honorable Kumalo.
Thank you, Chair. I was just panicking because I had to ask about to leave. Chair, for the opportunity that you are giving us, that you have mentioned that you are going to have a meeting with support staff, I think it gives us an opportunity as well to mention things that we might think or taking them for granted, but it affects directly the working and proper working of the committee. I will refer myself to the recent information where the invitation of conference that had to take place in Durban, KwaZulu-Natal, which committee members maybe were informed and I was not aware of, but I suspect that we all of us got information very late, unless there's something wrong maybe with my gadgets. I will request and appreciate that if there is information that is referred to us as committee members, I mean, we have to receive that information early, on time, because, you know, if you are called while you are, like I'm residing in that province, and I was out of the province, when I was told that it is in this week, and it will be appreciated if you can avail yourself, I mean, to me, it was not making sense, because I thought that we should be informed about it very early so that we set ourselves. I mean, as politicians, we have a lot to do in our hands that we can just jump on and go there. We really appreciate and be thankful to those that were able to avail themselves and representing us in that conference. Thank you so much, Chairperson.
Thank you very much,
Honorable Kumalo. I think that point is well noted. I think we will, along the way, if such things come, we'll find a better way of doing that on time. Yes, there are many things. We will look at them. We'll keep on communicating, colleagues. So let us thank you once more for being here on this first serious physical meeting. So be ready to hold our meetings like this. So don't run away. The time is short. There won't be too many, so it's unlike there will be so many of them. So, but thank you so much, colleagues. Thank you again, team, support for all what you do. The meeting stands adjourned.
Long live.